Welcome back to One for Paul. This is our daily, this is our bi-weekly show where I update my friend, Mr. Paul Drury.
Hello.
On pop culture. Last show we did Clerks, and I thought, let's do another first film from another director that I love, and this is Edgar Wright's first film. Well, not his first commercial film. He did one film before this called Shaun of the Dead. 2004 Zomedy.
Yeah, it's Shaun of the Sheep, the wholehearted story of a sheep who plays pranks on the zombie farmer who rears him.
Are you aware of Aardman Animation?
Yes, of course. That's the joke.
All right,
Shaun of the Sheep.
I was going to say because there is a Shaun the Sheep movie. Let's not confuse people here.
Yeah, I was doing a portmanteau of Shaun of the Dead.
People don't know what that is.
Oh, do they not?
Yeah,
they really should. Can we do one for the audience? Because if you don't know Shaun the Sheep, that's great.
No. I don't think they know what the word you just used was.
Which one?
The palalala. Begins with a P.
The what?
You said it was a palalimo. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. this is 2004, Edgar Wright's first movie. One of the first of the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy, or the originally known as the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
Blood and I get, okay.
Which is this, then Hot Fuzz, then At World's End. They're just literally, supposed to be set in the same connected universe, but they don't connect in any way, shape, or form, really.
Are we calling that the Writerverse?
Well, it's known as the Cornetto trilogy.
The Cornetto trilogy.
Each one of them refers to Cornettos at one point in the movie.
Oh, okay. The British ice cream brand.
Yeah, which you...
That is not paying us. We'll have, normally we'll have a t-shirt, but if you just send us a crate of ice cream, that would be great.
Damn it. It's walls. I love this movie. It was one of the, this movie came out around the same time when I started collecting comics. So it was one of those things that I got the comic books adaptations when this was coming out, when the film came out. So it was quite nice. But it was also, this was just before the huge boom of comic book movies, zombie movies. Like, we hadn't just, Walking Dead was just launching as a comic book, let alone a series. It was just, we were just getting the new Romero movies, or the remakes of the Romero movies.
I don't know what those are.
That's like Land of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead, when they did the 2000s remakes.
I remember seeing a poster.
When it was going away from zombies being like the animated dead to the more viruses, like your 28 Days Later and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I guess I don't know that much about zombie movies. I've sort of...
Well, this isn't... this one is like a homage to zombie movies. It's not... I wouldn't show this to people as like, this is what zombies are like. Because, yeah, it does a representation of zombies, but if you want a proper zombie movies, anything by George Romero.
Okay. Well, I think we should... I think a few of those are on the list in any event.
Oh, no, there's a lot of them are referenced in this movie.
Okay, yeah.
And I will tell you the references when
Excellent. Now, before we begin, is this like a movie that you would be saying everyone really needs to see this? Is this like one of those, no, seriously, everyone, you'll love it, it's great, it's underrated?
If people ask me like if what is a good example of British cinema, yeah, I'd point them to this movie because this is Edgar Wright's first film and his directing style is quite good. Tarantino loves this movie. Like it got a lot of Garner and pop culture success. It was actually made quite a bit of money considering it was a British film.
Okay.
To the point this was re-released in America. And every film that Edgar Wright's done since has had a global release, including the spiritual sequel or the next chapter of the Cornetto trilogy, which is Hot Fuzz, which came out 3 years later.
I think the only Edgar Wright movie that I've seen before this was Scott Pilgrim, unless there's other ones.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, yeah. That was the movie he did in between Hot Fuzz and World's End. And then the film he did afterwards was Baby Driver.
So I think he's now, we'll get to what I think about him now that I've seen this, but I was already a fan of the one thing that he made that I had seen, and I was looking forward to this. Before watching the movie, I'd sort of seen commercials. I know Simon Pegg's in it, so it's a comedy. This is
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. They're like the Laurel and Hardy of the new generation. Generally, it's you know, big guy, small guy. They've done a lot of comedies together, including the main ones people know them for are these three movies, which is Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and The World's End.
Well, I mean, so I was going into this ready to laugh and ready to have a whole bunch of zombie movie and zombie comic references that I will not get thrown at me, but let's start from the start
Let's
then.
Start where all great British films start, in the pub.
Yep. So right away, could I just praise the cinematography and the shot choice in this intro sequence? Because it opens on Sean alone in a pub. Mm-hmm. No, wait, his girlfriend is there too. Seems she is having difficulty with his friend Ed, who is third wheeling a little bit. Oh, wait, no, Ed also is there, and he's like right next to them playing the fruit machine.
It's not because Ed's there, she feels the need that she's got to invite her friend Dave and Di there, who are also there.
Could I also say the name Di in this instance is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Well, her name's Diane.
I got that.
But everyone calls her Di.
They could have called her John. Or like Susan or whatever. Like, we're in the 21st century. They could have named her whatever they wanted to. They called her Di.
Yeah.
So my first expectation is like, okay, so she's the first one to go, right? Like, there's always in these kinds of movies.
Subversion.
The person who... Anyway. So then it turns out the two friends are also there in the pub. Mm-hmm. It's just some of the most clever framing I have ever seen. Nicely done.
Edgar Wright is a great visual storyteller, as you'll learn as we go along through this film.
To the point where I've had difficulty making written or spoken stuff about a visual thing. I ended up with paragraphs of just describing what was happening on screen.
Mm. You'll get that.
We're going to get there.
He's a very visual storyteller. But of course, this is all, he's like, we're also seeing that him and Sean and her relationship is a bit fraught. Mm. That he's trying to make an effort. So he's like, you know what? I'll give up smoking. We'll go for dinner tomorrow. The place that does the fish. I'll try and make up to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, the next day, it's Sean Kent getting up. He's like, I'll play video games with my mate. No, you just got to go to work.
Yeah, so he goes to work where...
He starts getting ready, and then we meet the other flatmate.
Well, the actual flatmate, as opposed Pete, to like his house guest.
Yeah, his actual flatmate, Pete.
Yeah.
Playing awesomely by, what's his name? Peter Serafinowicz, who's currently the Tick.
What is his name? Peter?
Serafinowicz.
His real name is Peter.
His real name is Peter.
Oh, okay. Also,
he's playing Pete, yeah.
I thought I missed like where they said his last name or something for a second.
No. He's just referred to as Pete.
Okay, cool.
But he's just like, the front door was left open again last night.
And I would be upset, but in London, I would be real upset by that.
Yeah. But they were just like talking about, Ed just keeps you down. You only keep him around to make yourself feel better. Do you remember that night we stayed up all night just drinking apple schnapps and playing Tekken 2?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. When was that?
8 years ago. When is he going home, Sean?
5 years ago. Oh, I did the math on, like, when is this thing set? Because there's a couple of things that date it.
2004, 99, Tekken 2's that's about the right time scale for Tekken 2.
Tekken 2's release date was 95?
Yeah, but it's one of those games that you could just pop in a PlayStation and play all night. It was great.
Like, completely understandable if they were in sort of 2001 saying, you know, oh, hey, you want to play some Tekken?
Yeah, no. Well, it would 4 years before that would be, too fat. Well, actually, 99, so it's even more in the time
maybe.
Because it's just before the release of PlayStation 2.
So we could probably really nerd out and be like, no, this is actually on March the 15th.
No, but it's moving on.
Whatever. But we don't need to do that because...
We move into Sean having a word with Ed, like, you know, can you do a bit of tidying up and everything? Everything, pay attention, it's one of those things where it's a foreshadowing scene that you're not realizing because everything that Sean says to everything that Sean says to Ed while he's playing the game, Ed repeats to him later on in a different scene. But then Pete comes in and then belittles Ed a little bit, just saying, can you clean up or take notes? It's not hard to write down on a scrap of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little condescending.
I want to punch that guy in the face. And I love Perry. And I'm technically punching Darth Maul in the face because he is the voice of Darth Maul in episode one.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the
voice. Oh, wow.
He's the person who says, at last we can get our revenge. That's Peter Serafinowicz.
Oh, wow.
Because Ray Park didn't voice Darth Maul.
I guess he didn't, did he?
No.
That's a cool bit of trivia. I like that.
Oh, yeah. That's been a quiz question. Trust me.
So on the opening montage, after this whole thing happens, there's a bunch of shuffling ravers coming back Which is just before this, I guess, just before the peak.
Yeah, it's the
scene.
It's
I just wanted to note
to Blue Monster when it's showing what London life is like.
And let may I say, it's exactly like that.
Oh yeah,
like without exaggeration.
No. He completely encapsulated it. Even though this movie's it's 15 years old this year, it's still very much what London's like. Just update the tech a little bit.
Pretty much.
So he's gone to work.
Carl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, Paul, what's wrong with you? He farted. There's a fart joke. It's a smart fart joke.
I'll stop doing them when you stop laughing.
I'm not laughing. Heads off to work, and then he starts noticing things like people passing out, stuff like that. He goes to the florist to get some flowers for his mum. Oh, no, it goes to work first. And
He goes to work, and he has the
team meeting.
He has the team meeting with the insubordinate employees.
Well, one insubordinate employee, which is Noel.
Oh, does he have a name?
He has a name. Because
God, his performance is so spectacular.
Yeah.
I got legitimately angry at this man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to stop the thing and walk away for a second and be like, it's a movie, don't punch the screen.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick.
He has such a smug expression. His faces are beautiful. I don't know where they found this guy, but can we see him in other stuff?
Actor,
it's great.
He's had a couple of his own series. Now his name's Rafe Spall. He's done a few bits. He's one of those characters that keeps coming back. He's in Hot Fuzz, and I think he's in, if I remember correctly, he's got a cameo in World's End.
Okay. Well, I think those are on the list, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. That's
again, I'll go through the Viewers' Universe and the whole of the Cornetto trilogy with you.
That's awesome. I think one of those is going to be more work than the other, though.
One's a bit longer than the other.
One's been around longer, just a bit.
So
he's at work, though, and he sells TVs.
And he's starting to notice that a lot of the news is reporting stuff.
Are those army trucks outside as well?
Yeah.
Are those, like, on the streets of London? As well as on TV, that's not ominous at all.
There's military bases all around here. It's not the most unusual thing to see air tanker rolling down the street.
No. Whole convoy, though, is a bit unusual. But that's fine. I'm sure it's fine. Everything's fine.
And then
Carl, he's
informed that his dad's here.
Yep.
It's not his dad. It's not his dad. It's his stepdad.
Yeah.
Into Bill Nighy. Bill Nighy is always a win.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's just berating Sean, just like, it's your mother's birthday. Can you make sure you get her a card and bring her on flowers? Not a daisy.
Was it even a birthday? I thought it was it's your bi-monthly visit tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Can you bring your mom some flowers?
And not like those bad posies that you got from the gas station.
From a petrol station, yeah.
On your way over like you did on Mother's Day.
I was gonna.
Right? It's hilarious. Every character piece at this point is so achingly awkward but relatable. Mm-hmm. I hate this stuff. I turn off episodes of Frasier when it gets too awkward. So, like, a couple of times here, I was just like, no, oh my God, this is...
It's fine, but he's just like, you know what? He goes off and he's just like, you know what? I'm doing work. His colleague's like, what about no personal calls? Because Noel takes a phone call during the meeting.
And then makes another phone call during the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, after which he finishes, he looks straight ahead and goes, continue.
Yeah.
Oh, I love and hate this man.
But the phone call is Liz confirming that he's changed the date to book the restaurant.
He's sort of half listening, of course.
Yeah. He's just because he's trying to pretend that it's Liz from marketing or from the other store.
I think he pretends too well and forgets that he has a girlfriend.
Yeah. He goes on the way home and then he gets back in and then realizes he has to book the restaurant with the fish. After Ed's gives him the messages.
Hey, quick detail watch. Yeah. When he opens up the yellow pages, which for those of you who are listening from the future, it used to be a book where we'd write down companies' phone numbers so that you could look them up and find things information-wise about where you were. It was a darker time.
Yeah, you can still get this yellow pages is a website now, I believe.
It is a website now, but...
It's literally yell.com.
I'm kind of jealous of that URL. I'm kind of jealous of that. But they look it up, and when he looks up the name of it in the thing, I was pausing to write this episode on the second viewing, it says, that place with the fish.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's Edgar Wright for you.
That's amazing. I love this man.
He's very much like Tarantino, little bits of detail.
To the point where I will warn everyone ahead of time, I will have noticed a lot of details that I'm not going to point out specifically, because if I did, we would be here for 5 hours.
Oh, you can do. Oh, I could do this a couple of hours on this.
If you'd like a 5-hour episode of One for Paul, please have us do the extended Lord of the Rings universe.
Oh, God, no.
No, I have seen it.
I've been extended.
Just weeks on end of us watching movies against our will. That's what you can do to us.
You can do the extended in a day.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you absolutely want to do a One for Paul on a movie that I have seen, in fact, and also
I want
is 12 hours long.
I want Sean's last ditch effort to try and get back with Liz after he tells her that he didn't get the reservations and suggests going to the pub again.
I bet he feels very much like he's just spent 12 hours watching something dull.
Yeah, I don't mind Lord of the Rings, but that's not what we're talking about.
Did I imply that Lord of the Rings? Oh my God, I'm going to get letters.
You can feel that on Twitter in the morning.
Ugh.
All the gifts. One does simply not.
one certainly simply does. I liked him in 2003. That's my opinion.
But he then he goes to Liz with the flowers that he bought for his mum, trying to reconcile with her, but to no avail.
I don't think there's any reconciliation. I think she's perfectly fine with him.
No, they break up.
Oh, his mum, though, I thought you said.
No, his mum. He takes the flowers he bought for his mum to Liz.
Is it bad that I forgot about that and I watched this an hour ago? That's crazy. Yeah. He has the flowers with him to bring to his mum, having just bought them.
Yeah, and he rushes them, forgets to take the card out, which is to his mum.
And in the spur of a moment, trying to be smooth.
She gives the flowers to her.
Manages to be almost smooth. It's kind
of
great.
And then, of course, Liz breaks up with him, which leads to him, Ed and Sean going to the bar.
Yeah, because the only London-based solution to a breakup is a sesh.
Always. No. It's just we're a nation that we drink to celebrate everything.
And to mourn everything.
Yeah.
And for no reason.
Yeah. Alcohol is either the life of the party or the medicine you need in a dark time.
Also, tea does the same thing.
Eh.
Anything good, bad, or neutral happens, I have heard somebody say, oh, let's put the kettle on.
Oh, yeah, stick the kettle on.
Yeah. Comes up a couple of times. Tea is not tea, it's friendship.
Yeah.
Beer is not beer, it's friendship. Mm. It's also beer.
Tequila's not friendship. Tequila is trying to get in someone's pants, but let's not go down that road. Ed then goes around and tells us all the characters that are in the Winchester that drink there, like Snake Hips.
Bigamist.
The lady who did the first interracial hardcore loop, Café au lait, pour vous.
You know what's hilarious? I actually speak French, so when British people do stuff in French, I have no idea what they're saying. Because I'm like, I'm sure that's a word, maybe. You do it way better than he does, because he doesn't actually.
Yeah.
I didn't pick that up. That's amazing.
That's exactly what he says. Yeah. And then, of course, he talks about Pam and John. Unrelated note, I did actually know of people in a pub who ran a pub that were called Pam and John.
I think everyone knows somebody called a Pam and John in a pub.
No, every landlord, unless you know their name, their name's Pam and John.
Yeah, I mean, this is it.
I was working in a pub where the manager was called Mark and Leslie, and someone asked if Pam and John were in. There is a stereotype for a reason.
Well, I think that roots back to a 1706 law passed by Parliament under whoever was the Prime Minister at the time, saying that every pub must contain at least one Pam and a non-zero number of Johns.
Yes.
You can have up to 6 Johns, but you can't have 7 in any given pub.
Nah, you can.
If you have 7, you have to open a new pub.
Which leads to Sean and Ed arguing over the fact if the gun above the bar's will, because the pub's called the Winchester.
Yeah, I bet dogs can look up.
Dogs can't look up.
Okay, serious point. I know what they mean. Can it actually like turn its head upward? But it can certainly look up because it can
dogs
go on to
can't
its.
Can't look up.
They can go
John's,
on.
Big John said so.
Big John doesn't know what he's talking about because the dog can turn over onto its back.
You know,
and what for the belly rubs?
John's connected, you know.
And he looks up. Which way is he looking if he's on his belly? What for getting the belly rubs?
Yeah, but John's connected.
He is connected. John is the guy at the pub, and it's called the Winchester, and there's a Winchester rifle above the bar.
Sean's devastated, so Ed, being Ed, decides the best thing they can do is have a lock-in and keep drinking.
Yep.
Even laying out the plans for the next day,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Also drinking.
Which is get a Bloody Mary in the morning. I get a bite at the Queen's head, quick one down the Queen's, stagger home, and then bam, back to the bar for shots.
Yep. It's a good plan.
It's a very good plan. If it's, only if we could see it become into fruition.
No, yeah, because some stuff happens.
Yep, so Ed and she'll make their way out of the pub. It's then shown that the apocalypse is kind of happening because a woman loses her head.
Yeah.
They start singing White Lines, Visions, Dreams of Passion, going through my mind.
Oh, I didn't clock onto what song it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they throw it out to the guy, the zombie, just yelling. He's just like, should have said bass or freeze. What a prick.
Didn't pick that up at all.
Which is a subtle nod to Space, the show, which their second episode is actually, is it second or third?
I'm definitely getting a lot of Spaced in the attitude of the characters at this point.
Well, Space was written by Simon Pegg and Yvonne, who's the person that's like, oh, I'm glad someone made it.
Yeah, shoot, we're going to see her later, but I'm
and
definitely...
And was directed by Edgar Wright.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah. So what I mean to say is I'm getting a lot of... this is a TV show that was made in the
99 to 2000.
Yeah. It was a short-running series, which was excellent in my opinion. Very of its time, about some people who are very much like Sean's character in this in
it's
a lot
the
of
bizarre
ways.
Bizarre Life of Tim Bisley.
Yep.
And his flatmate.
So in my mind canon... Mm-hmm. In my mind canon that I keep loaded at all times.
Oh, no, Daisy. Not Jen. Daisy. But it's Tim and Daisy.
Mm-hmm. In my mind, this is the same people. In my mind, this Sean just changed
his
name.
It's very similar. Originally, Shaun of the Dead was going to be a Space spinoff.
But, oh, was it really?
Yeah. But,
no wonder I saw it
then. They decide to go back in the back to the flat and start blaring some electro.
Hip-hop, you mean?
No, it's electro.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's quite clear. The record even quite glitchy says it's electro.
Yeah, Peter doesn't think so, though,
because
he comes
it's
down.
It's 4 in the fucking morning!
Yeah. I would also not be impressed by that. He nearly hits Ed, because Ed calls him a prick. They have a whole thing about how everyone is a loser except for Peter.
And then, of course, she's yelling at Sean to sort his fucking life out, gesturing with a hand that's clearly bandaged.
Yeah, so he got mugged and some...
No, he got bitten by a tramp.
Well, he mugged by some tramp who then bit him.
Why did he bite you? I don't know, I didn't fucking ask him.
Right.
Very, it's such a British argument.
I didn't ask the mugger.
Yeah.
Excuse me, kind sir. Just while you're in the process of stabbing my liver over and over, why exactly are you also biting my hand? There goes my arm.
So they end it, and then, of course, Ed says, the next time I see him, he's dead. We now wake up. The zombie apocalypse
has foreshadowing.
Basically happened.
It's pretty much happening as we speak. It has been happening for a while. It's been on the TV screens, but everyone sort of ignored it and went about there. Is this the most realistic post-apocalyptic onset that we've ever seen in fiction?
Because most
people are just going to be like, I'm sure it's fine.
Also, Sean goes to Ed. What does he want from the corner shop? He wants a cornetto. This is why you get the cornetto trilogy. But it also mimics the shot the day beforehand of Sean going to the shop, but subtly different. Because there's a tracking shot of Sean leaving his flat, crossing the road, going to the shop, getting a newspaper and a can of Coke. He then picks up a Diet Coke and then puts back and gets a normal Coke and heads back home. They do the shot again, but obviously it's now the zombie apocalypse where there's now zombies in the street.
But being hungover, I think we've all been in that place.
He's not awake.
He's not super awake yet. It's early.
He goes over to the shop, doesn't even notice the blood on the ice cabinet because he's getting his...
Like, ever woken up and real hungover, just been like, I'm sure... where did I put that plate there? I'm sure. And are those mopeds, have those always been crashed on the pavement?
Ladies,
I'm sure it's fine.
Ladies, you've woken up certain mornings and not felt quite so fresh.
Oh my God, the bloodstained handprints on the window.
Yeah. But,
and of course, part of me thinks, no, you'd see those, but I've also been that hungover, and you might actually just not see those.
No, so he picks up a normal Coke, puts it back, put Diet Coke, he's all about making the change, you know, take a look at yourself and make the change.
I didn't pick up on that. That's a good detail.
Oh, well, he then goes up to the thing, sees there's no papers, leaves the change there. What shrapnel he's got left in his back pocket. Goes home, walks back. The beggar from the previous day, who is now a zombie, and Ed's not realizing, Sean's not realizing, even though he's dragging his dead dog.
You know what's bad? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, no, most people don't, but it's the guy, the tramp the previous day with the dog, and he's dragging. He's dragging a dead dog.
Oh my God, how did I not notice that? Oh, that's amazing. Edgar Wright, you magnificent man.
Oh, there's cameos of the wigwam in this. So he goes back, and then it's they start watching the news and stuff like that. Sean's starting to realize that something's happening, and then Ed turns to him and goes, "There's a girl in the garden." What? In the garden, there's a girl. So
she's so drunk.
This is their first encounter with a proper zombie, Mary.
Yeah. Wouldn't you also think she's drunk? You'd just be like, oh my God, she's...
You wouldn't assume zombie apocalypse.
No,
and
I mean,
it annoys me in certain movies where it's just like zombies turn up and it's just like, well, it's clearly the zombie apocalypse.
That man coughed. Someone hand me my shotgun.
Oh, we're getting to there. But it's quite a clear... So they warm up to it. They go out and she's like, she's drunk. They try and ask her to leave. And then she goes for Sean. Ed decides to go pop back in the house. It'll be 2 minutes.
Yeah, because it's important to get the disposable camera.
Oh, yeah, and take the photograph of her and Mary. Pushes Mary off after he realizes her eyes aren't quite right.
Yeah. Yeah, and as he pushes, she tries to make some very unwanted advances toward his general neck area.
Yep, so Ed and Sean push her back, and she falls right onto a umbrella holder.
Yeah.
Well, a big guy.
Like a patio umbrella holder. It's a big iron thing that impales her all the way through. But that's not stopping any zombie ever, and she's no exception.
She gets up, and we get a lovely interior shot of Ed and Sean and from her stomach.
Yeah, maybe we should go back inside.
Yeah. No, they decide that then another zombie turns up. So in fleeing, Ed's like, what's in the shed? There's nothing in the shed. So they start throwing...
They somehow just have his whole collection of LPs.
They throw the record that Pete threw out the window the night before.
Being angry at the electro.
And then realize this is a way that we could fight back. So they run back in.
Probably the best use for LPs, if I'm honest.
Sean then goes through vinyl. Then people say that vinyl doesn't make a difference, and I think it's the difference that makes vinyl. Then he starts throwing records, but Ed just starts throwing it and doesn't realize he's just thrown an original pressing. So they're now going through his collection to decide what to throw.
Batman soundtrack? Go on.
Throw it. Sade. That was Liz's, but she did break up with you.
You know what's hilarious is this is just another stage of breaking up, though, right? As you go through your stuff, you maybe have a bit of a clear out. They're doing an absolutely beat-for-beat breakup story.
This is a romantic zombie comedy. It's called a zombie.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've never seen anything like it, but I'm noticing the beats from rom-coms and whatnot that I've seen, and it is exactly that. Now it's time that they have a clear out. Now it's time that this happens, and they do it perfectly the whole way through, also a zombie movie.
So Ed and... Sean's had enough of losing his record collection and decides to break into the shed that's always been locked.
Yeah.
And then we get Ed and Sean's trademark weapons for the rest of this movie. Sean with the cricket bat and Ed with a shovel.
Yep.
So they both take it in turn, start wailing on these characters.
They're not characters anymore. They're zombies. Just zombies.
Well,
and you see them speed up a little bit and sort of get that.
And into rhythm. Yeah.
And that's
they go the back first in, time covered that in, covered
they've
in
ever
blood.
Killed something.
Go back in, covered in blood. Sean's standing there, shakingly holding his cup of tea, and Ed's just wiring into that cornetto.
Yeah, Ed is very relaxed, like suspiciously relaxed in this situation.
I think this is Ed's ideal scenario. It's like the world's gone to shit, and I survived.
Right, and he's just like, oh yeah, brilliant. I know exactly what to do. I play video games all the time. Whereas Sean appears to be more appreciating the severity of the situation because he's staring off into the middle distance, having just killed someone.
And then they were listening to the news report saying that they should lock up the three, fortified their homes and everything. And then, of course, Ed's most probably left the front door open again, which he has done. And another zombie comes in, armless groom who was in the shop behind Sean the previous day looking
oh,
at
was
the,
he really?
In the
oh,
jail
man.
Cabinet.
God. Edgar Wright, you magnificent man.
Who actually is he is an amputee. He is legitimately missing an arm. But it took Simon Pegg about 10 takes to get to the point of actually like admitting it, because he didn't want to offend the guy.
Yeah.
So he's just like, oh God, he's got an arm off.
Yeah, I guess that's a tough day on set too, because it's like, this is an extra, so it's not like you've been working with the guy for a while.
No, but even the guy, like, they couldn't get the thing was on it, and like him, he brought them aside and it's like, Simon doesn't want to call you, say you got an arm, or he doesn't want to insult you. He's like, it's not insulting. I'm playing the role of a two-armed guy who's lost his arm when he's become a zombie. It's not, because he was he lost his arm during, he was an ex-soldier. Lost it in combat.
Yeah.
But no, he's just like, no, it's fine. You're doing, if it makes the movie better, I'd rather be that. And he is one of the more iconic zombies in the movie.
Definitely. Yeah. Excellent. Zombie performances, people tend to think that they're very simple. Shuffle around, say a whole bunch. But we get examples of why it's actually a little bit more difficult than that later on.
There is a nuance.
Definitely.
To it.
And I'll celebrate the performance of the...
I didn't get his name, but he was an armed.
Yeah, player. Of the actor playing the one-armed zombie. I think that was... excellently done. I was afraid. Death by ashtray. That's bad.
So Sean and Ed decide that they're going to make their plan. Where can they go? So we get the three versions of the plan.
Right. Rescue mum, kill Philip.
Sorry, Philip.
Get to Liz's, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over. We should also say Philip is now probably a zombie. They're not just killing him for
fun. He got a call from his mum saying that Phil's been bitten, but she's okay.
That's all right then.
Then we also get she calls, and then we got Ed screaming down the phone, we're coming to get you, Barbara, which is a reference to Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, which is, is it Night of the Dead? Night of the Living Dead, the first one.
So it's a reference to Night of the Living Dead.
Which is in the first scene where Phil and Barbara are in the graveyard and he's coming after him saying the dead's coming back to life. It's like, they're coming to get you, Barbara.
That's amazing.
Reference number uno.
Have we got this far in and this is reference number uno?
No, there's other references, but that's the big one of the big
references.
We're
cutting some of them for time, I think, because this is a dense movie.
It's a very dense
movie. It's amazing. So far, I'm really enjoying this. I think the setup was very cringy in a way that I don't like, but I was happy to... At around this time when Mary's in the backyard and they start throwing the LPs, I'm like,
zombie apocalypse actually starts happening, the genesis of the movie.
Yeah, that's when I started getting properly invested in this film and these characters.
So he then continues to go through the plan. They decide that the best chance is to go to Sean's mom's house, kill Phil, go to Liz, pick her up, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Yep.
Me and Dan have done this several times. It's just any plan, and then it'll be go to the ship, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Right. But time to go, but it looks like Pete got bitten. Dang.
Well, they're realizing that Pete might... they're not sure where Pete is because they haven't seen him all morning, and his car keys are still there.
And they're realizing that he got bit on the hand, and they're starting to suspect.
So
he also had a headache, which the news said... Oh,
but they scream for him. They go, Pete. Pete. Oi, prick!
Yeah, he's not here.
He's not here. I do that all the time, especially with my dad. It's just like, Dad. Dad. Oi, prick! Always turns around at oi, prick. Every time.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. I should just go with that first time, and he might get his attention.
Yeah, but then it sounds like an insult.
He decides to steal his car, but Sean needs to go to the toilet. Goes up, and that's when he realizes that Pete is a zombie.
Yep. Yeah, he was. He got zombied while he was in the shower.
Mm.
Again, like legitimately, now it's like he's the actor himself is a heavily muscled dude. Yeah. So now it's not only. A zombie that's sort of shuffling and a bit frail, it's a like a proper, this guy could probably mess you up.
These do follow the Romero rules of they are more shuffling like zombies. They have got some speed, but they're not like running at you.
Oh,
fast,
yeah, yeah. Just
fast
to say
pace.
That the actor himself is an imposing physical presence.
Oh, yeah.
And that comes across in the shot that's actually quite frightening.
He's got a good foot on Sean and Ed, height wise, and
definitely
much more better.
He's not bodybuilder wise, but he's heavily muscled.
Yeah.
And I was feeling intimidated, like, oh man, Sean might just bite it right here.
So they make their way into the car.
Yeah, so they're just going to grab Pete's car. He's not going to miss it,
no.
Frankly.
So they drive around to Liz's house.
But oh no, they hit someone.
It's a zombie.
Oh, thank God for that. Easily yeah. One of the best lines in the movie. They hit someone, they're like, oh my God, what have we done? Oh,
yeah, they're still, even in the zombie apocalypse, the social repercussions of, oh God, we just killed someone, that's our life over. The apocalypse has happened, gentlemen. Some perspective.
Yeah, there's still a difference between hitting they do it so well. There's still a difference between hitting a human being and hitting a zombie.
Yeah, no.
As if it wasn't plays on a zombie.
Then
it's perfect. Everything about that is perfect.
Sean's mom's house.
They go to Sean's mom's house.
Ed stays with the car and realizes a lovely Jag in the drive.
It's a very, very nice Jag.
Yeah. Fuck, that's nice.
It's a super nice Jag. Yeah. Ed really thinks so, certainly.
Ed, any trouble? Honk the horn 3 times.
Yeah. So Ed's, of course, driving around in this little, you know, 3-door hatchback.
It's a Peugeot, I think.
Yeah, I don't know where it was, but it's a little 3-door hatchback that Pete has, because they're all sort of, you know, late 20s, early 30s, probably.
Late 20s.
Yeah. So they're not driving around in anything super nice, but Philip has a Jag, because of course he does.
Yeah.
Because all old people are always rich.
He goes in and his mum's just like treating it like a normal day, like his Philip's fine. So Sean's working it up.
There was 2 men at the door earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did get a little bit bitey. Okay, I love Barbara. She's so good.
Hello.
Oh, hello. I'm going to try to do the accent because it's just so good as we go along, because she's like my favorite character in all this.
Aww.
She's so great.
Oh, I feel so sorry for you that she's your favorite.
I know. Oh, my God.
No, it's Ed for me all the way if we're talking favorite.
He's
character.
Also great.
Yeah. But they decide that it's best that Phil and Barbara come with them. More zombies turn up.
More zombies do turn up as they're driving the car over to Liz's.
Yep. They've realized that he's like, they're not sure what car to take. So it's like, you best off jumping in with us. And then Ed's like,
so we're following you in the Jag then, right? Yeah. Oh, actually, we kind of crashed our car.
No, I pranged it.
He pranged it.
How did you do that? It was already parked. I know. Guess we're going to have to take the Jag.
Oh, no. How awful, Ed. How absolutely terrible that this series of events has conspired to put you inside of that Jag you like. No. Oh, no.
Oh, no. So they drive. Ed's in the driver's seat.
He's driving around blaring some metal,
which is a bit too much.
Well, the reason that Ed is driving instead of Philip is because the zombies come as they're getting into the car and bite the heck out of Philip.
Yeah.
They take some chunks off his neck.
He legit going to turn this time.
If he wasn't going to before, he is now. So they bundle him into the back because in the spur of the moment, rescue everyone, I guess. Nobody's thinking he's going to turn into a zombie.
Well, they don't know how it's done. They don't know if it's the dead coming back to life. They've not really explained it.
They don't really know yet, I guess.
News has just told them to stay inside, and if they are attacked, to go for the head.
I guess we're going from
to remove the head or destroy the brain.
Yeah, we've just been going from information that we have from having already seen the movie, so I guess we're getting a little confused. I'm getting a little bit confused. But as they're escaping, Philip has a lovely final heart-to-heart with his stepson.
Sean has to go and get Liz, Dave, and Di.
Oh, crap!
You're going a little bit ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that's probably because that scene is like...
It's very same in the same car.
It's the same thing.
We're missing is that Sean does go... He does recompense with Liz, saying, look, I haven't smoked all day, you know. I just want to make sure you're safe. We're going to the pub.
Yeah, this isn't about romance here. This is about survival. I care about you... We need to survive. The plan is we're going to the Winchester because it's going to be secure. There's deadbolts. You've been to a lock-in. You know how, you know, you can't get in there. Mm-hmm. It's the most secure place we have access to right now. So
Ed, they know us there.
Yeah, and they know you there. Yeah. Yeah. And you can smoke, which is Ed's main concern.
And he knows where the exits are.
It's the zombie apocalypse, and he's still concerned about smoking in other people's homes. I appreciate that. It's polite.
Yeah. He's not an arsehole.
No, of course not.
He's a bit of a dick, but he's not an arsehole.
Yeah, true.
They drive down a bit of the road, and then Phil turns. But not before making his peace with Sean and that in the back, which is quite a nice moment.
Another standout performance in this piece, I'd say, because that whole perform the interchange between the two of them, mm-hmm. not just the delivery of the lines, but also Simon Pegg as the reluctant stepson who in the final moments of a stepfather now realizes, well, shit, I could have had a better relationship if only... Oh,
if only I didn't chase you around the garden with a bit of wood for putting half a Mars bar in my glove box.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record and say maybe don't do that to anyone.
But obviously they dispense of Phil, unfortunately. Then they move on by foot, going through the back gardens. You ever taken a shortcut before?
They had to ditch the car because Philip's in there and they're not going to try to force the dude out. It's dangerous. So they have to continue on foot. Daniel, is that his name? David. He's an asshole.
Played brilliantly by Dylan Moran.
Yeah. I legitimately love this.
Yeah.
I hate the character. I love the actor.
Oh, you can't not. He's one of the best Irish stand-up comedians of all time.
Don't even put stand-up in there and I agree with you. Mm. Don't even qualify that. He's amazing. Mm.
But they continue on foot through back gardens.
And they meet their doppelgangers.
Yes.
Including Bilbo Watson himself.
Yes. That's interesting because all of them have worked together in different projects. You got basically nearly, except for one person, the entire cast of Spaced. Mm-hmm. You also got like Reese Shearsmith, Tamsin Craig, who was in Black Books with Dylan Moran. Mm-hmm. Julia Deakin, who's playing Yvonne's mum, was... one of the main characters is in Space as well, and then just Matt Lucas there because it's a British movie and Matt Lucas is in a British film if he can be.
Yeah, Matt Lucas just shows up to set and sure that's fine
as Negative Ed. Well, he's called Cousin. Yvonne's Cousin Tom.
That's amazing.
But he is Negative Ed.
That's amazing. Yeah. So these are the Bizarro World copies of all of them, and I guess Yvonne and they're all sort of. Is Yvonne the double of Sean?
Basically, it's Yvonne and Sean, her partner Martin, and Sean Pegg, Simon Pegg, and Martin Freeman are very similar build and height. Obviously, hair difference is the main difference.
Yeah,
Liz and Yvonne are supposed to be same age, but blonde and brunette. And then, of course, it is literally doubles on doubles. Lucy Davis is very similar to Tamlin Craig and stuff. Go so on and forth.
Yep. So because it's a cameo, they don't actually join forces.
No. They're going off to do what their thing, and they are going to get holed up in the pub because you can just tell Bomb Yvonne just like so your idea is just to go to the pub.
You go, yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go get some help.
So
just we'll see how she's just out. Glad somebody's made it.
Yeah. She's pretty cool, actually, in all this. I like this.
Jessica Stevenson's a quite a cool actress, and she's great as Daisy in Spaced. I loved her in Spaced.
Definitely.
All right, so they're moving on towards the pub.
Well, the shortcut
through the backs.
So they have to jump some fences.
Barbara decides that she's going to... she thinks that her friend Tim and Dave, Daisy, or somebody lives nearby, but it's not them.
Yeah.
Ed... going over a small bouncy car's a bounce and flips over a fence
to try to rescue his mother,
which he does succeed in doing.
The most unrealistic thing in this film so far is the height you can get off of one of those mini trampolines for children.
You got to suspend your disbelief somewhere. If you've not suspended disbelief at this point, Paul, something's gone horribly, horribly wrong, my friend. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I believe this. Jumping over that? No, I refuse. How dare you?
Preposterous. Who built that fence? Why has it fallen over so easily? Oh, outrageous.
It's a fence built in the UK. It was a couple of brickies on a Saturday who just wanted to get it done for 30 quid to get to the pub. It wasn't going to be built brilliantly.
Well, now I don't even have to suspend my disbelief.
So then they continue on and then they decide, how are we going to get to the pub? Right, so... they have zombie acting class.
They do. Right. I'll check the coast is clear. Is it clear?
No.
How many?
Lots.
Daniel once again demonstrates he's a bit of a dick here because he's just being...
David.
David. Why do I call him Daniel?
I'm going to just is it a Freudian slip? Is there something that I've got to tell the Northerner?
No, please don't.
No, that's the sound of no. I want to live. Please, do the children still smile? I miss the smiles.
It's okay. I'll distract him with a pint of Guinness.
You'll need several. They infiltrate into the pub, and Sean's just to be like, the front door. They're trying to get in, and then the zombies are starting to notice them, and Sean's trying to tell them there's another entrance, but David has had enough.
He has, and he tries to take control and be the action hero.
And throws a bin into the window of the pub.
I think he saw that episode of the Boondocks and took away the wrong lesson.
Yeah. So they get into the pub finally. Sean manages to get rid of all the zombies, or chase them off for the time being.
Well, he gets them to chase him.
Yeah.
In a moment of selfless...
Which is literally as shown in a short comic book on the DVD extras.
Oh, is it really?
Of literally, he runs round the block. The zombies are so slow that he literally makes it back round to the pub, and they're still chasing him.
That's hilarious.
That is literally it.
Because
they're still. He runs ahead. He runs ahead as fast as he can, and then he realizes how far ahead he is. So he just takes like a right turn and then goes back to the pub.
That's amazing.
Because he's out the visual range of the zombies, which didn't take him very long.
He's out of line of sight, yeah. Because they all sort of, they do legitimately shuffle, yeah. I guess you would just have to walk real quick.
And then David's just like, oh, he's dead, so we just, you know, let's just have a party, shall we? You know, here's your midi cheddars. Here's your twiglets. Oh, look, hog lumps, frozen man caught beautifully
by
Simon Pegg.
It's a great scene. And this is right after David.
Mm-hmm.
David, right?
Yeah.
Got David. It. So right after he has been saying, no, we need to barricade the window right now.
Yeah.
And they sort of, the rest of the people in the team sort of looked at him and said, yeah, why though? Because Sean's going to be back.
Yeah.
He promised he'd be back. Mm-hmm. Right. How much are this man's promises worth again?
Yeah.
What's his track record?
Yeah. Which is the note of a romantic comedy, the also interested party just pointing out the hero's flaws.
Oh, he's definitely not interested in Liz, is he?
Oh, he's 100% into Liz.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to have Liz's babies. But, of course, Ed and Sean is just like, I'm sorry, you're having a tiff with your girlfriend, because Ed was being a bit of a dick taking a phone call before getting into the pub.
Yeah.
Which was Noel, the character Noel, ringing him, because Ed's his dealer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's who's
on the phone, because during the team meeting, he's like, he's only got Henry. He's referring to Ed's earlier phone call where he says he's only got a Henry
VIII. With the employee who is on the... my Lord.
So Ed's his drug dealer.
Edgar Wright, you magnificent man.
Yeah, it's clever. He's very clever.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
So Ed... and that gives me my favorite line, and it's a line that me and Dan do all the time, which is the cooler's off, so it might be a bit warm. Thanks, babe.
It's the look Simon Pegg gives him. Yeah. What is he, your boyfriend? He's not my boyfriend. Thanks, babe. It's that doe-eyed, beautiful beauty shot. Thank you.
And that's how a bill becomes a law.
Oh.
I think we were just talking about Sean and Ed's love affair.
For those of you who were not paying attention, Carl had to pee, and also the recording stopped randomly.
I had to take a waz. Sorry, kids. So we continue. They're in the pub now. They're having hog lumps and beer and trying to get the TVs to work because they realize the electrics are working.
Yeah, because Sean has now sacrificed himself, except not really, because he led the zombies away.
Yep. So they hunker down, and that's when they start to notice Barbara's not looking too good.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, hello. When they realize that she's been stuffing tissues down her sleeve to hide the fact that she was bitten earlier on. It's always one. It's always somebody who gets bitten in the group and hides it because they think they're the best.
Is that a trope? I guess I've seen that a few times.
There's always in zombie movies someone who gets bitten or scratched or thinks, you know what, basically they're so scared of being killed that they'd rather worsen the odds of the group by hiding the fact that they've been bitten.
Hmm. Either for fear that they'll be killed on the spot fear that
self-preservation.
Yeah.
So I would like to think I'd be honorable in that situation, but I 100% doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for myself as well.
I mean, I believe in the greater good, but
Well, this is what's great about zombies as a setting, and it's why, like, for a little while there were, like, zombie video games every 2 weeks
or something. This is around this time. This is the mid-noughties when there was the zombie boom.
And the reason that never worked in the game so well for me, depending on the game, was, like, it's zombies as a shooting gallery, right? They're just a target in a lot of these games, whereas what's great about a zombie movie, and I'm starting to get out of this one, having not really seen zombie movies before, is that the drama isn't the fact of the zombies, it's how people deal with overwhelming situations that they have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And how relationships both form and break down in that environment. Yeah. The interesting thing is the survivors,
this
not the zombies.
This zombie movie touches on every base of the romantic comedy.
Also hilarious because it works way better than I ever expected, but now watching it, it's obvious.
Yeah.
I'd call that the definition of genius. Edgar Wright, you magnificent man.
Yes. But they move on. They start to realize this is the moment. They've also realized that the gun behind the bar is real.
Yeah. Yeah, because at some point the owner, it turns out, is actually somewhere. He was hiding or lying down.
He was in the back. He was in the back and he's come out, basically.
He was somehow in the back and they didn't notice him. So he comes out and they hit him with the butt of the rifle after a lovely sequence where they have to kill the queen.
Yes. The jukebox is on random because it played All Out of Love earlier when Sean was having his heartbreak, and now it's playing Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
God dang.
Because it's not a British movie without Freddie Mercury on the soundtrack. Bohemian Rhapsody is going on the list, by the way.
Yeah, this was a 1706 law passed by Parliament saying that all films in the future must be made, including at least one scene with Queen.
Yes.
They didn't say the Queen. I think they might have meant it at the time.
No. There's only one raging queen, and his name was Freddie Mercury. So they, again, they're all trying to beat the hell out of everybody.
They are.
David's trying to kill the jukebox, but unfortunately makes a bit of a light show spectacle now bringing zombies to the door.
I've been to concerts like that.
Yeah, I've been to Shoreditch. This brings the zombies to the door. They manage to subdue the barman with with the shotgun once they realize that
They do it with the butt of the gun. Then they go, well, I wish it worked. No, for the last time, it doesn't actually
work.
And
then Sean shoots the gun.
By accident. Narrowly missing Ed.
And of course, Nick Frost, being the character that he is, going, I fucking knew it.
I love his reaction to almost getting shot as told you so.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So they go through, they've got 21 bullets. Say shells is cooler. Okay, we've got 21 shells.
They're definitely not shells, but okay.
They start barricading the door. David's having their epitome moment. They've obviously, Liz starting to turn. This is Barbara. Sorry, Barbara starting to go.
Yeah, I was going to say Liz doesn't turn.
Yeah, no, it's Barbara starting to go. So they have the heartfelt moment of he's trying to kill my mom.
Yeah, so having just had his mother die in his arms, the guy no one likes in the group now has the rifle.
Yeah.
And is saying, I'm going to shoot her in the head. Because at this point, they now have seen a TV broadcast that was sort of played briefly at some point, saying they are coming back from the dead.
Mm.
So he decides, move aside, I'm just going to shoot her. That's the wrong time to do that, mate.
Yeah,
if you think it's the right thing, the man literally just had his mother dead in his arms. Do you think he's going to be thinking rationally right now?
So then it's smash bottles. Everyone's got bottles to everybody's throat, including including Nick smashing one and handing it to Diane to put a Sean's throat so it's all fair.
This hardly seems fair. Right, I'll fix that. Here you go. It comes across as every friend group is just like, I'll unthinkingly help a member of my friend group. Wait. Oh, no.
Yeah. Basically, we've all been there.
Ugh. Maybe not exactly there.
But then it's the come to Jesus moment. You know, everybody admits that, like, Liz still loves Sean. David's in love with Liz. And Diane's only with David because she settled for David after she couldn't get with Liz.
Can I say poor Diane? She's so great, though.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things. It's like, I'd rather not be alone.
Yeah.
And have someone, even if they're pining for my best friend.
Still, poor Di. She's so
Which
good,
is a
though.
Trope of romantic.
It is, but it's still like, at this point, I'm really starting to feel for her. Because before, she was like the quirky, you know, slight character.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Yeah. I love Lucy Davis. I think she's an amazing actress. She's brilliant in the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch series on Netflix. And she was in Wonder Woman. She was Steve Trevor's assistant in Wonder Woman. So, like,
the old cartoon or the new one?
The new Wonder Woman.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's on the list.
Okay.
It's the only decent DC movie besides Aquaman, and that's just a weird sentence that I have to say in this day and age.
It's the only other good DC thing.
But of course, they de-escalate. Sean kills his mum with the shotgun. He does the right thing.
It's not Daniel, Jesus, is it?
David. Don't worry, you won't have to say his name much in a minute, but.
David. I'm just going to change that in my script. That's what it's going to do. It's going to matter this one time, though. But David is. He was quite happy to shoot the person who is unconscious on the floor. In the head, but now that it comes down to it, he hands it to the man who just lost his mother, saying, "You do it." He's a coward, but I don't think I can blame him.
No, I wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't think so either. That's an unreasonable situation for everyone.
Yeah. So Sean does kill Barbara. David then goes by the window and is ripped out of the window by the zombie horde.
Yeah.
Yeah. After having his moment where he's just about to reconcile with looks like he's about to reconcile. Basically, it's the the Samuel L. Jackson near the watering hole in Deep Blue Sea moment.
I haven't seen that. Is that on the list or is it not good enough?
Deep Blue Sea is on the list. Fuck yes, Deep Blue Sea is on the list.
We got to keep like actually keeping track of
including
what needs
the LL Cool J rap.
Awesome.
Bigger, badder, my hat is like a shark's tail.
What?
That is the actual soundtrack to Deep Blue Sea.
That's amazing. I just want to point out one quick thing that really characterizes David at his lowest point, which is Sean, having just shot his now reanimated mother in the face, drops the gun in exhaustion, both physical, I'm sure, and also emotional exhaustion. And when David tells him, "Well, I think we can all agree you did the right thing there." He turns around and punches the dude, which gets the whole thing going. So he punches the dude, who falls to the floor where there is now the rifle, picks up the rifle, cocks it, and fires, or at least operates the trigger, because there's no bullet left in there.
No.
But he was absolutely in that moment prepared to shoot and kill Sean.
Yeah.
That's not going to make you popular with the group.
Nope, don't worry. Zombies!
Zombies take him out before he can have his redemption.
Yeah, he starts
delivering a line that might be a redemption line in front of the window that he himself broke. And the zombies get him.
Yep. And rip him apart, literally into pieces. He gets drawn and quartered, basically.
Literally.
Yeah. Diane, not having it, still wanting to be with her love, decides using his very leg as a weapon.
Opens the front door
and
starts,
runs out and attacks zombies,
to
get David back, who is clearly dead because you're using his leg to kill people.
You just saw the man get eviscerated in front of you. Also, shout out to practical effects because underdone and extremely effective.
Yes. This movie didn't have it had a $6 million budget. It was.
They did this on what?
$6.1 million, I think.
Holy wow. Okay, now that sounds like a lot if you're buying like groceries, but if you're paying highly paid professionals in a film sitting, that is very low.
Now, this is still the early point of a lot of these actors' career. I think the people who had the biggest role at this point would have been Bill Nighy.
Yeah, you can't get Simon Pegg on a film today for less than 10, surely.
Oh, no. He would do a film like this.
He'd probably
as a favor.
If Edgar Wright calls him up and says, "We have 100,000, let's go. What are you doing on Saturday?"
Well, he was offered a role in Baby Driver. He was going to be one of the assassins.
Oh,
but he turned it down because he had to do a space movie. He's Scotty in the new Star Treks.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I saw one of those.
Then he continues on to... The movie picks up pace now because the zombies have gotten into the pub.
So a lot of stuff happens very
including
quickly.
Including Dwayne turning back up again. Not Dwayne. Pete turns up again naked.
Yeah, still naked because zombies don't dress themselves. They just walk around.
Well, fuck a doodle doo.
Well, fuck a doodle. This is because it's his line before.
Yes. So they start flaming cocktails. So they've set the bar on fire.
Yeah, at this point the zombies are in. There's no.
Unfortunately, Ed gets attacked.
He does get attacked and bitten in his arm and in his neck. He's pretty much done.
They're down for the count, so they decide to make their way into the cellar and try and hold off as much as they can.
They leap behind the bar, lighting the bar on fire with all the alcohol they can find.
Including the remaining shells for the gun on the bar.
Yeah, which, as it turns out, are a better shot than Sean.
Oh, Sean can't shoot for shit.
Yeah, so just the rounds exploding and spreading shrapnel around are a better aim than... Yeah.
In an extended scene, it was supposed to show Sean's really bad at shooting in general when they play the video game together. It was supposed to show that Sean can't shoot. He has got terrible aim regardless.
Yeah, when they hand the gun to Ed at one point, I got the call back to the video game where it was just like, ooh, nice shot.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah,
this whole scene is very tense, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. The way that everything is lit is gorgeous. The final scene... there where they have the bar on fire taking up the whole screen except for zombies reaching over the fire. Yeah. Oh my Lord. One of the most gorgeous things I've seen in cinema.
It's last. So cool. It's akin to Last Call at the Dog and Ball on a busy sunny day where it's just like everybody's still crowded around the bar at time.
Including the fire.
Including the fire. Some days, including the fire.
Oh my Lord.
But they move down into the bait. They move down into the cellar thinking they can't escape. They're done.
It's the last place they can escape to. The zombies can't go down the hatch, I guess.
Ed's bleeding out.
He is very quickly bleeding out. They think he's going to turn, and they have...
Sean and Liz.
A very emotionless conversation about the practicalities of how to do suicide pacts.
Yeah. So Sean says that we can either kill ourselves... Or one can shoot the other and then shoot themselves.
Crucially, they've only got two bullets left.
Ed said he's fine bleeding out.
Yeah. Until they say the romantic thing, well, you don't want to...
I don't think I can kill my mum, my flatmate, and my girlfriend in the same day. It's like, you assume I take you back? It's like...
Well, you don't want to die single, do you? I've changed my mind. Shoot me.
Yeah. It's just Ed Jane. I don't mind being shot.
Yeah. Well... That's it. He's done.
And then lifting it up, they realize that there's a electric lift to the street.
Well, they light their last cigarette together.
Mm-hmm. And one for Ed.
They in the flame of the lighter, they see, wait a second, there's a freight elevator. We can get to street level. We can get out. We still have a chance. So in a beautiful scene,
Sean gives the rifle to Ed to try and stave off the zombies a little bit further. And then, you know, I'm sorry, Paul.
It's fine.
No, I'm sorry, Paul.
What do you mean? Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not funny.
I'll stop laughing. I'll stop doing it when you stop laughing.
God, it was so sweet, though.
Yeah.
It was a sincerely sweet moment. He lights Ed's last cigarette as he's about to go down to the zombies. Proper last stand.
And then, of course, you know, Liz says to Ed that she loves him, and he's like, all right. Sean said it to him, and he goes, gay. Again, this is 2004. Yeah. People were not woke at this point.
No, yeah.
It is the tail end of it being used as a derogatory or a bro term.
As a pejorative, but in a bro sense, yeah. Because having been there in 2004-05...
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I would be lying to you if I said I hadn't said it to one of my friends at one point.
Yeah.
I would 100% be lying to you.
I'm glad we now realize.
But I know it's wrong now.
I now realize that it was very hurtful to a lot of people and we were always a bit wrong to do it.
I said it in front of gay people.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that I did.
I think we all did a bit. Yeah. So I'm glad we've moved on a little bit.
Of course.
But just to say, in context, if you're watching it later on now.
Seinfeld's getting that treatment at the moment.
Well, exactly. But in context at the time, it was just friends being like, you're an idiot. All right.
Yeah.
It's that. And that's going to sound weird to anyone who's not British. I mean,
Dan,
anyway.
Dan does it every day, but you know Dan's doing it in the fact that he's trying to take the power away from it. No. Just when he goes, because he goes, all right, gay to me every now and again, but he's using it as a way to take the power from it. It's the same with Mel Brooks doing Hitler impressions on Jimmy Kimmel.
Controversial, but comes from a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I understand completely. I just mean to say, in context, he's not calling his best friend gay as he's now being characterized as an awful person.
No, he's just
a homophobe.
He's more like, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, in context at the time, the effect was not, I can't believe he said that. How could you? That's awful. Mm. Don't say stuff like that. It's a last moment with his friend where he's
trying to add some humor to
lovely normality for them.
Yeah. So then we go on to Liz and Sean come to street level. They're ready to fight back. Sean's got an axe at this point.
Yep.
And they're ready to fight. Then who turns up? It's only the fucking army.
The entire army shows up.
M16-ing the fuck out of everything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then there's Yvonne.
Well, here's the thing. In that scene, my fear was they're going to get mowed down with the zombies.
Yeah.
I was sincerely like, oh, that's how this is going to end.
Well, that's how the Night of the Living Dead ends. Like, literally.
I haven't seen that. Spoilers.
The army turns up and mows everybody down. It's the military. It's what they're supposed to do. In that in case.
Cleanse. No, I got you.
But luckily, Yvonne runs out with her trusty four iron.
Looks like a sand wedge to me, but okay.
Oh, I could go for a sandwich.
Open-faced club sandwich.
Then, of course, it's another rehashing of a previous scene. It's just like, oh, did you glad you made it.
You guys all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Surviving.
Yeah.
Is it just you guys? Yeah. Well, at least somebody made it.
Yep. Deus Ex Army. Deus Ex Military.
But then it's a jump to 6 months later.
Yep. There's now reality shows about zombies.
They realize it was a tainted monkey,
probably.
So it's taking the piss out of the 28 days of a lot of genetic virus and stuff like that.
Which in earlier scenes there was a little bit of radio stuff and this weird space thing has come down from
that's that David Walliams.
Is that really
one of the radio editors? Is David Williams.
That's amazing! Yeah.
Oh, this is full of British people and stuff and cameos and that.
But just to say,
do you remember you've seen Space?
Yeah,
you know the when they're looking around the pub just before they go in the bar and they have all the zombies in front of them.
Yeah,
one of them's Noodles. One of them's
oh no way.
One of them's the Bite Messenger.
Oh no way!
How
did I not notice that? Probably because
it's literally a blink and you'll miss it kind of a scene. But he's one of the ones right at the front.
Oh, that's amazing.
In sight.
For those of you who haven't seen this, his whole thing is he listens to GABA, which is 180 BPM dance music. Yeah. It's preposterous.
Yeah, he doesn't eat anything. No, his stomach's like a walnut.
It's probably all the drugs.
Yeah, it was just, I remember you. I remember you crying in your arm, missing me, and I was your da.
God, yeah. So now we're just going to be talking
We'll do space later on. But
well, I've seen it. We can't. It's not a one for Paul. We'll have to find somebody else for this to be a one for. Mm.
But no, they have that moment, and then it's him and Liz. They're just like, they're going to have a lazy Sunday.
Yep.
Sean then excuses himself to go out.
I want to make note of the TV and what's on TV at this point, because that's what they're doing. They're sitting down having a normal day.
Yeah.
Liz seems to have... she now prefers, it seems, a bit of normality from time to time. I'm sure she likes to go out and have a nice time.
They're still saying their Sunday is to veg out a bit, go for a Sunday roast, and then come home.
Yeah.
I mean,
that sounds like a great Sunday.
I know tons of couples that is their Sunday.
My Sunday, except I don't do it with another person.
Oh.
I just make a roast. It's the best.
Aw.
Tiny roast.
Tiny roast. That's a roast for one.
But what's on TV is things like there's now a reality show in the vein of Takeshi's Castle where they have zombies.
Trisha.
Trisha is so good. I can't do the voice. Can you do the voice of the lady?
I was married to him, but I love him, so we're still together. But he's dead.
Some people might have a problem with I don't have a problem with it. I don't see why people have a problem with it.
I've still got this ring on my finger. He's still my husband.
Yeah, it's so god dang. Yeah. But you sleep with that thing.
Yeah.
God dang. So it's just been absorbed in the thing, and they have biopics, symbiotes, of the news guy who's like, I never thought that I would have to say remove the head and
destroy the brain. Sean goes out to his shed. The door's been reframed, and he sits down, and it says, Player 2 enters the game.
Yeah, because...
He's found Ed.
He has found Ed.
He's got Zombie Ed chained up in the shed playing Time Shooter. Time Splitters. That is the game they're playing, by the way.
Zombie Ed in the shed. Doesn't have a bed because he's dead.
Mm. Yeah, now I ask you what. Now I know you asked for a rhyme before.
Yeah, just before this show, I asked what rhymes with shed. Because I forgot how rhyming worked. Also how words are, even.
But it's... And then that is Shaun of the Dead.
That was Shaun of the Dead. That's the end of the show.
One bit I want to speak about. I told you that Ed planned a day for him when he was drunk.
Yep.
Ed plans out the exact day that happens the next day. Everything he says happens.
Go on.
They start with a Bloody Mary in the morning.
They do.
Mary was the name of the zombie that they were waiting on. They have a bite of the king's head, which is Sean's stepdad getting bitten. They pick up the queen. They go on to the queen, which is obviously his go on and get Liz.
Yeah, okay.
They stagger to the bar. They pretend to be zombies to get into the pub.
They stagger, yeah.
And then bang, they're at the bar for shots, which is where the things go off.
For shots from a rifle. From a rifle.
Yeah. Everything Ed says comes into fruition. Edgar Wright is the master of foreshadowing without you knowing.
Edgar Wright, you magnificent man! This whole thing, if it hasn't been clear so far, I goddamn loved this movie.
I thought you would.
The establishing stuff in Act 1 was cringy in that way I don't like, but I can get over it because it's there for a reason. On first viewing, it was annoying and I didn't like it. On second viewing, I thought this is actually genius because I'm watching it and seeing the foreshadowing and going, every bit of this is here for a reason that is well thought out, well planned. Everything is detailed.
You can watch so Edgar Wright good. Doing the, on the DVD extras for Shaun of the Dead, doing the elevator pitch, like with a paper flipboard going through every scene, like how it's all linked, it's broken down. The movie's broken down by Ed's speech. By everything he says. That's how he breaks the movie down, selling it to people.
Are you telling me that Edgar Wright carries around a gigantic whiteboard, flippy board thing at all times, just in case that he's in an elevator?
It was him and Sean recorded their elevator pitch to watch it back.
Oh, got it.
So it's on the DVD extras.
I think that if you're really dedicated, you do just, anytime you're in an elevator, you put a whiteboard in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I'd get much more work done. I'll tell you that much by now. I'm glad you enjoyed this one. The reason I said to do this was on the last show, which is going up day of this recording, most recent Pop Culture Pod. Dan showed a photo of Swole Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
And then I re-looked at the list and was like, oh, we have to do Shaun of the Dead.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Simon Pegg in this, a lot less swole than he is in present day.
Well, this is still comedian Simon Pegg.
Rather than dramatic actor.
This is pre-action role Simon Pegg.
I like him in both. He's got range now.
Oh, yeah, he's got an amazing range.
He's really
range.
Gotten, I don't want to say better, because his performance in there are so many standout performances in this on their own. So many.
Well, nearly everybody in this cast has gone on to do great stuff.
I mean, clearly. Particularly, I love the relationship between Ed and Sean. I also like Sean and Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how Liz sort of becomes the sort of, call it, first officer of the group, where Sean is sort of making decisions and trying to do the best he can and somehow assumes this leadership role, which he can do in a crisis, but he can't do in a shop.
I think it's just the fact that, you know, he's the only one verbalizing ideas. And sometimes that's how you become a leader, is just the fact that you're pointing out a way to do things.
We say that, but it doesn't work for
everyone. It doesn't work for David.
David, there you go.
He's got no charisma.
I was so close to saying other thing.
The guy's got no charisma. Dylan Moran, on the other hand, has got charisma coming out of his wazoo.
That was my next note. He has several wazoos, all of which produce ungodly amounts of charisma at all times, which is why it's so weird to see him in this kind of role where he's supposed to be unsympathetic, but he doesn't end up unsympathetic to me, at least on second viewing.
No.
These are all people who are dealing with preposterous, unreasonable circumstances, who have reasonable wants and desires and have no idea how to get them. He is the victim of his own failings. He is a bit of a coward, but wouldn't you be? It's a horde of the undead.
Yeah. It's an unreasonable situation, is them trying to break it down.
I think everybody, myself included, I would hope that I'd be a Simon Pegg, but I think I would hope I'd be a Sean. Mm. I don't think I would be an Ed. I don't have that.
Oh, I'd totally be an Ed.
I think you would be an Ed. My fear is that I would be a David.
Mm.
That's my fear in that situation. That I would try to be too reasonable.
I would literally roll with the punches. If the zombie apocalypse happened, I'd be like, right.
I mean, we're both giving ourselves rather a lot of credit here, saying we'd either of us survive in the first place and not just like shake someone's hand and have them bite us.
You got to be the lead in your own movie. I mean, as much as I always cast myself as witty sidekick, I will, you know.
But that's the joke, though, surely. Oh, you cast yourself as the sidekick who is, in fact, the main character.
Oh, no. Even in stuff I write, the characters I write for me are always the witty sidekick. I've never written anything with me as the lead.
With you as the protagonist?
No.
Okay.
Never done it. Don't like to.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I don't know what we're going to do for the next one, Paul, but we got 2 weeks to decide, including the time of another pop culture pod will be recorded and released, hopefully.
Yeah, so if you guys have any ideas, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, which is, where can they find us on Twitter
we're
and whatnot?
_ pop culture pod, we're pod culture on Facebook, and we're _ pop culture pod on Instagram.
Where can I find you, Carl?
I'm at Halfblind 1989.
And I now have Twitter that I have not touched in a week, which evidently you don't just start an account and tell people to go there. You actually have to write things. So I'm going to try that this week.
Mm.
My name on there is @SpeakerCone.
@SpeakerCone. Okay. Well, you catch us next show, which would be the return of Dan and the return of PCP. And we will be back in
a couple of weeks with
a new one for Paul. All right. I've been Carl Rowland.
I've been Paul.
Catch you soon. Bye.
Bye.
He wants to have Liz's babies.
Well, now I don't even have to suspend my disbelief.